I want to turn to Genesis. Thank you for coming tonight. If you're visiting with us, please come back. Please come back and visit with us. And hopefully this is the place where you need to be. Genesis 22 and 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And of course, as you know, we're going to look at it at a different angle tonight. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I wish you could get a mental picture of this tonight. Again, I've mentioned several times, pictures will show is he would stab him, but that's not how they offered sacrifices. They cut their throat. And so he stretched to get the knife to cut his son's throat. Now, if you have children, you imagine that. You can imagine he's in a bind. There is immense pressure. It would be equal to the Garden of Gethsemane, the pressure that's on him. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Don't even untie him yet. I'm going to show you some things in the Word tonight. I don't want you to lay your hand on him. Don't do anything to him yet. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket. Caught in a thicket. Everyone say thicket. Caught in a thicket by his horns. Picture that. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, just like the song they were singing, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I want you to notice, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It was the place where God provided. It was the place that in the moment of what looked like to be a defeat turned out to be a great victory. I want to preach from this thought tonight, in the thick of things. In the thick of things. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings and your mercy, your light that guides us in a very dark world, for the knowledge of the truth that cannot be replaced, and for the wisdom that it brings to those who apply that knowledge and use it in their everyday living. For truly we are sojourning, looking for that place too. But Lord, in this life, we know where we belong. We belong in your house and living for you. We ask that you bless us today as we study tonight about the thick of things. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. I've mentioned this before, and I'm sure you, if you are a golfer, I know you've noticed it. If you're not a golfer, then you may have noticed it. But when you cross over 210 to get onto I-10, going kind of north, I guess they would say it's westbound, but you end up going north, you come across the curve. If you look to the north, you see out there what used to be an 18-hole golf course called Pine Shadows. Do most of y'all remember Pine Shadows? Anybody played golf on Pine Shadows? So some of y'all have. Good. You won't again. And so this place called Pine Shadows, like any golf course, had to be cleared. They had to make fairways. They had putting greens, and they had sand traps, water hazards, and a few trees, decorative trees along the fairways and so forth. And that piece of real estate, my brothers and sisters, did not start off a golf course. It started off a thicket. It started off being full of briars and brambles and trees and vines and things of this nature. But somebody had a vision that says, I can see an 18-hole golf course here. And God bless the visionaries, because when they close their eyes, they see what shall be. But when they open their eyes, they see what is. And it's a long ways from what you envision to what you face when you open your eyes. But somebody had enough vision to say, I see through the woods. I see through the waterways. I see through the vines. I think that we can make an 18-hole golf course here. So to make his vision come true, well, they unloaded dozers. Somebody got out a chainsaw that would buzz and cut down the trees, and they removed some of the bramble and the vines, and they cleaned it up. Somebody planted some grass. Dirt got hauled in, and they elevated some places, and they lowered other places and made some straightaways. And my brothers and sisters, they eventually, the thicket of woods turned into fairways and to putting greens and into things that people were once could not even walk through it, now drive golf carts through it, chasing a little white ball for hours. I finally realized it's senseless to do that. But I know I like to play. It's just time. But as time went on, this golf course got challenged by other golf courses that began to open, and they were bigger and they were better and they were prettier and they were more convenient, because it wasn't easy to get to Pine Shadows. And so the attractiveness of Pine Shadows eventually began to go down. And when the attractiveness went down, so did also the number of people using it started to go down. And before long, it just became a few old boys hanging around there, old guys that was just, you know, let's go play at 9 holes. We too old to play 18. Let's just play 9, you know. And they could not make a living any longer with the golf course. So they finally closed the golf course. I remember the day. It was in the paper and everything, the news that it was a monument in Lake Charles. This old golf course is closed. And today, if you want to see any resemblance of a golf course, you better go now. Because when you pass over now, the grass is as tall as I am. The putting greens, you just would have to walk out there to see. Little sapling trees are already growing up in the fairways. The sand traps aren't white anymore. They're covered with leaves and chips of bark and things of this nature. It's not even usable. It won't be long. What I'm trying to tell you, it'll be the thicket again. It'll be just like it once was. It's not going to remain the golf course anymore. No one's going to play there anymore. There's no way you can play golf. And people years ago told me, I used to hunt on that property. They'll be able to hunt again. Because everything it was once was, it will be again. And anytime that you don't maintain, I'm starting to preach now, anytime you don't maintain what you once cleared, it's a matter of time before you return back to the thicket again. It's just a matter of time before it gets out of hand and a weed eater won't do it anymore. It's just a matter of time that once you've cleared out a place and you say, I'm living for God now, I am going to put down, this is what I enjoy, and you have some distance that you can see, but if you don't take advantage of that clearing, I got a little place out there at Reeves or LeBlanc where I hunt. Sometimes I planted me a few little sticker bushes. Well, they're thornless blackberries. And some blueberries. And I planted them in October last year. Be sure I, you know, had them in the ground enough time. I've lost half of them to this drought. But the weeds keep growing. How is that that my plants are dying and the weeds keep growing? And here I am. I got me a weed eater out there on there. And if I don't go and cut that with a bush hog every year, tallows grow this much a year. Now, no plant I plant grows like that, but those tallows grow up so fast. My point is, once you cleared it, you have got to maintain what you cleared or you return to what it was. In the thick of things, in the thicket of life is where people get hung up and they can't seem to find their way. It all looks the same in a thicket. It can be no bigger than an acre, but you get in the middle of it and it all looks the same. And people get hung up because they think all people are like this. Every husband's like this. Every wife's like this. Every pastor's after money. Everybody's like, it looks like everything's the same. And you find yourself in the thicket of life, fighting with the vines and the bog holes and the mosquitoes and all these things because you never cleared a path. What did John the Baptist say about the coming of Christ? He said, make straight his way. Clear out the way. Get every low spot shall be elevated and every high spot shall be taken down. I want you to be able to see him when he comes. Well, you better keep it clear. Because John the Baptist went into the prison for a while and got separated, and some thoughts began to grow in his mind. And he began to say, I'm not sure if that's the Christ or not. And he sends two of his few disciples he had left to go to Christ and say, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Yeah, these thoughts are growing again. Once he was so clear about it, he said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But now I'm not sure. And of course, you know the story that Jesus told. Go back and tell John that the lame are healed, the deaf ears are unstopped, the blind have their eyes open, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Tell him, I am that man. I preached a sermon to you, and I'm not preaching the same one tonight, but it was titled, It's a Jungle Out There. It's a jungle out there. I'm telling you, the clearest it's ever going to be is right here in the house of God. As soon as you walk out of here, you walk into Walmart, you walk into a jungle. I don't care where you go, the clearest you'll ever see your way is right here, for judgment begins at the house of God. Hallelujah. The thicket of life always looks the same. Broken hearts and failed relationships, hopeless dreams, full of failures and sorrows. And I'm here to tell you that I know a man that knows how to clear the way. I know a man that knows how to make room for you. He said, David said, he set me in a large room. He cleared me out of space. Now it's up to you, David. It's up to you and to you and to you to maintain what God has created for you, lest you become part of the thicket again. There was a day when King David fought his own son, Absalom. Sad, sad day. Didn't want to, but he had to. Forced to fight him. He actually had left town. And the Bible says, it's sad to say, and I hate to repeat it, that Absalom slept with his wives and his concubines. Sad day. And the old man was running. And finally, he was forced to fight. And the Bible says that Joab took a third, went this way, and a third went that way, and a third another way. And here's what the Word of God says, that they forced them into the woods or a thicket, and more died that day in the wood than they did by the sword. I'm here to tell you the woods of life is treacherous. Amen. You can't see your way very far in the woods of life. And I'm telling you that day they said more died in the woods than by the sword. More people are dead today because they went back to the thicket. They didn't keep the ground clear where God cleared them away. They let it grow. We lost more than we got tonight. Any church that has the truth, I can tell you they've had more pass through and go back to the thicket than they have in the church. The Bible says that many times it refers to the heat of the battle. And I'm not talking about the heat of the moment. Sometimes the heat of the moment, you get angry and you go, man, what did I do? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done. I'm talking about a battle. I'm talking about the war where you're fighting every day. And it's like the heat of the battle. It was that point where you don't even know if you're going to win or not. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow or not. You don't know if you're going to get stabbed or you're going to stab somebody else. It was the heat of the battle. And that's always the time you're wondering, is it worth it or not? Should I retreat or should I press on? I want to talk to you about these times, the thicket and the heat of the battle. Should you go on? What should you do when you find yourself in the thick of something and you don't know what to do? And I just feel like tonight God has brought you here to hear this word that the Lord gave me, that you feel surrounded by, you feel like there's no way out of this. If you turn to the right or to the left, it's no relief. You can do this and do that and you come back. It's the same because you're finding yourself in the thick of things. Our text speaks of a man named Abraham who no doubt finally thought he had received the promise of God, finally had his boy, and he's growing up, and I'm just going to pair, you know, just making up my mind what I'd do. He took him fishing, and they went camping, and boy, life was good, you know. Finally got that promise, boy, he's going to be the father of many nations, and out of his loins going to come kings and all this kind of stuff. You got to feel pretty good, you know. I feel good that my children, you know, they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and I hope they supersede all their father did and so forth. That feels good. He's feeling really, really good, I no doubt, about his son and what God has done for him. And then he gets a telephone call from God. God calls him and says, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land. We say get thee to the Mount Moriah. He said get to the land of Moriah. And I want you to offer your bundle of joy to me. He's gone from smiles to tears or fear or whatever it would be. And right in the midst of his troubles, he's got to make a choice. Was that you? It can't be. This is supposed to be. It can't be. But the Bible says that the next morning that Abraham arose and he took his son and headed to the land of Mount Moriah. And he said, take that son. He said, I want you to offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Now listen close. That I will tell thee of. I will tell thee of. And the next morning he arises and he heads out. And he takes a couple of servants with him. He takes a few animals with him. He takes some wood with him. He takes some fire with him. He obviously took a knife with him. And he takes his son. And they're headed to a land of Moriah, which the Lord said, I will tell thee of when you get there. That's how he called him the first time out of his own land. He said, I'll tell you where you're going once you get out. And sometimes I just want to interject this. You just say, I don't know where I'm going. If you'd come out of what you're in, he'd tell you where you're going. But as long as you won't stay what you're in, he's never going to tell you where you're going. Every time he called Abraham, he said, come out. And when he got out, he said, then I'll show you. And so I find it interesting that it wasn't on the first or the second or the third day. It was on the third day that Abraham lifts up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And the Lord said, I'm going to tell you of a place. But when he saw something, it spoke to him. It wasn't the audible voice of the Lord. It was when he saw it, he said, that's it. He knew that was it. He saw it afar off. He said, that's it. That's it. If you just allow me tonight to use a little bit of imagination, I don't think I'll be far off. When Abraham lifted up his eyes, I believe he saw a clearing. I don't think he saw, he saw a place. He didn't say, I see the mountain. I see a place. Now, I got to set up an altar. I'm not going to bring a machete and a weed eater and a chainsaw to clear me a place. I'm trying to teach you something. God had a place cleared for him. So when he looked up, that's the place. That's it right there. This is where I can set up my altar. This is where we can burn the fire. This is where I'll slay my son. So he turns to them. He said, I and the lad go yonder. We'll come again and worship to you. Are you with me so far? Is my imagination too far-fetched? Because if he just saw a mountain, he said, I see the mountain. He doesn't even know, still know where he's going. But he saw a place. And he's got to make a sacrifice. And so as they head up this mountain to the place that I believe that God had cleared of the bramble. He had cleared of the woods and the vines and the stickers. It was ready for him. I've never known God to do anything, tell you to go that he wasn't ready for you when you got there. Tell me where God does something he's not ready when you get there. He had Canaan land ready for him when he got there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. It's already there. It's already ready. So I believe in my heart that when he looked up, he said, that's it. Because it was already ready for him. Even Joseph, he sent ahead of them to make it ready. So when they got there, he was already there. So I believe God created. I don't think he got a weed eater out. I don't think he got a chainsaw out. I don't even think he said tree be removed. I just think he had a place where he kept clear and nothing grew there. It was the place reserved for Abraham to offer his sacrifice. Abraham said, I see the place afar off. I see a little spot where I'm headed. And so as they journeyed, the little lad turns to his dad and says, Daddy, behold the wood and the fire. But where is the sacrifice? He obviously knew the routine. And Abraham says some very, very prophetic words. He said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. The Lord will provide, let's go, son. The Lord, I don't know what's up there, but I know that he's a preparer. I know he's a provider. See, he was already talking about provision before he called the place Jehovah Jireh. I know he's a provider. So he'll do something. He's going to provide himself a lamb. So they will begin to walk up. And they find this little clearing, Brother Petrie. They get to the little clearing. And just stay with me. And they, son, you know, he's old. And this is a lad. He could run at any time. He could cut loose and run once he saw he's the sacrifice. And we praise Abraham. I'm going to praise Isaac. He could have run. And he said, son, let's set this altar here. Okay, Daddy. Now put the wood under right there. Okay, Daddy. Now turn around. I'm going to tie you up. Okay, Daddy. Now, son, I want you to lay down there. Whoa, he knows what's coming next. Okay, Daddy. And he willingly, a picture of Christ, willingly lays down on the altar that's fixing to be in flames. And Abraham, my brothers and sisters, is in the thick of things. He is in the thick of things. What am I doing? I don't know what you would do, and I don't know what I'd do. I pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And so he gets the knife. Son's laying there. And in the thick of things, right when he's ready to commit to slaying his son, the Lord saw he was going to press through the thick of things. And right when he got ready to do it, the Lord said, whoa, Abraham, whoa, here am I, Lord, here am I. What you want? And he told him, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know God has a foreknowledge, but he didn't know in his foreknowledge, he knew because you went through with what you said you would do. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Isaac lay there on that altar at the mercy of his father's. Stay with me tonight. He's on the altar because it's a type of Christ. He's on the altar at the mercy of his father. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. That's the second time he lifted up his eyes. The first time I think he saw the clearing. He lifted up his eyes Now, I'm just going to walk you through this. Didn't say the Lord said, lift up your eyes. He said, don't do anything to him. Don't put your hands on him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thick of things. Caught in the thicket by his horns. It does not say, contrary to the way it may have been preached, that the Lord said, go take the ram and offer it. It does not say that. Caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his sons. He untied his son to put the ram there. And the ram was the one now caught in the thick of things. He swapped places with Abraham while Abraham looked like he was the one that was caught in the thick of things. God brought him out and he looks over there and there was his sacrifice. Caught in the thick of things. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Hira, because this is the day in this mount that the Lord hath what? Seen it. He saw it. And while the scripture doesn't say that the Lord told Abraham to do these things, Abraham did them on his own accord. Caught this ram. Interesting. I've preached before. Take what God provides. He told his son he's going to provide a lamb. A lamb and a ram are not the same. He could have said, no, I'm going to kill my son because that's not a lamb, that's a ram. You better take what God provides. Because he's still going to provide himself a lamb. And so I just believe the ram, listen close, this is just Bagot 201. I just believe that the ram was on the clearing. If you ever look at a ram or a goat, they always want to stand on a clearing so they can see out. And I just believe that the ram was on the clearing. And when he heard the footsteps of two men walking up the mountain, he thought he would escape and he would flee to the thicket. So many times, my brothers and sisters, you've got to be careful. The world is not where you need to go. And he got caught in the thicket of which he lived in by his own horns. And when Abraham saw him, he released him, if you will, and then he bound him. Wow. And he offered him up instead of my son. Abraham saying that God will provide himself a lamb will be fulfilled. Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. It would be thousands of years later before a man would say, clear a little way. Are you still with me? Clear a little way, and the lamb would be set in the clearing that the whole world would go after him. Everybody could see Christ. Everybody knew about Christ. He was the place to be. But there was one dreadful night, my brothers and sisters, that while he was appeared to be in the clearing, he was surrounded by the thicket. And he heard footsteps coming. He fled to the garden to pray. He fled to the garden, or went to the garden to pray. And in the thick of things, when it looked like it's over, the Isaac, if you will, is at the mercy of the Father. He said, if there's any way, maybe there's somebody praying tonight, Lord, if there's any way, could you just let this pass from me? If there's just some other way. No answer came. So he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the thicket closed in on him. They came with sticks, swords, fire to make him the sacrifice. And this lamb, listen close, was like the ram and opened not his mouth. The ram was caught all the time, but didn't open his mouth. It does not say that Abraham heard the ram behind him. He lifted up his eyes and saw the ram behind him. And so it is, our lamb they took from the garden as they come tonight and brought him into Pilate's judgment hall, and he opened not his mouth. He was at the mercy of God Almighty. No one, he said, takes my life. I lay it down. Today we call that suicide. Come on. That's what we call suicide. I give my life. Nobody takes it. I choose to take my life, to let you take my life. There's no horns caught. There's no bleeding. He could have called angels to rescue him, but he's going to die in my stead. He's going to die in my stead. He was the ram or the lamb. No wonder Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Today what you need to do, just as he said, is Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and all them that looked upon the brazen serpent were saved. He said, if you'll just look upon me, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. They led him away instead of me. And the Bible says, I quote to you what Isaiah said, he saw it afar off. Isaiah saw it afar off, and he said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and we all like sheep have gone astray. Yes, we have, and went our own way. Many are back in the bramble and back in the thickets tonight, back in a place where they don't know if they'll ever get out. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. Anybody oppressed? Anybody depressed? Anybody afflicted? Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Who? Do I have anybody? Do I have any witnesses tonight? Who's going to declare his generation? Who will be like unto our Savior? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. Abraham was watching that boy. He shall see the travail of his soul. That little boy went like Christ went to the cross. He could have ran in the thicket and got away. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. for he shall bear their iniquities. Would you stand tonight? God saw the place afar off. How far off did he see it? Even Jesus said. Again, Abraham said, on the third day he saw that place. Christ said, 3 days, and I'm getting up. 3 days, and I'll be restored. And on the third day, brother, he got up out of the grave and glorified God. And he said, I go to my father, just like Isaac did. And he said, I go to your father. Somebody tonight, if you close your eyes, somebody tonight is in the thick of things. And I'm trying to pull you out. Don't go run and hide as Abraham, as Adam did and Eve did. When they sinned, they hid in the thicket. They ran and hid behind the trees. And the Lord said, come out in the clearing. Come out in a place that's clear. I'm asking you tonight, don't go back to the thicket God delivered you out of. You're in the heat of the battle and don't know which way to go tonight. You don't know which way to turn. But I'm here to tell you, just as with Abraham, in the heat of the battles when he found out he was faithful. In the heat, in the thick of things, is when he found out how faithful he would be. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But don't run and don't hide. God's going to see you through it. Just be patient, because God's going to allow you to raise up your head too and find what he has provided for you. Hallelujah. God didn't say turn around. There it is. The Bible says he looked up and he saw where behind him a ram that ran for his life. I believe when they came up, that ram said, I'm getting out of here. And he got hung up. God has the way of escape for you. But you've got to make it through the thick of things. Tonight, as you come from where you're at, come. I want to tell you, God's got a little clearing here for you. He's got a little space here for you. Come on. It's for you. I thank God every day for this little church. It's a clearing that God's made in a city that's corrupt for us to come and worship him. I believe with all my heart what Abraham saw far off was a clearing that God had made. God's made you a little space that you can worship him in a crowded world. In a world that's full of trouble and it's full of turmoil, God said, make a little space, make a little room so my people can sacrifice to me. Make a little space where they can raise their hands to their God. Make a little room where they can praise me for what I've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clear your mind of everything around you.
Just ask him in his
and
name.
Give God praise tonight.
Everything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's already provided.
Hallelujah. You can live for God in the thick of things. That's it. That's it. Clear the way. Clear the way. Hallelujah. Why don't you raise your hands right there where you're at?
Everything.
Hallelujah.
You need, he's
hallelujah. Give me some
provided.
Room. Give me some room. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Everything.